Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. Championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, BYU football quarterback, Jake Retzlaff. Jake, always good to see you. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Look, we're going to get into a lot of hard-hitting, newsworthy topics, but I can't think of a more hard-hitting topic than this one. I noticed, according to your bio, you say you're the self-proclaimed best ping pong player on the team. Is this accurate, and how confident are you in that statement?
You know, it's funny you say that, because literally, like, about an hour and a half ago, I was taking down the entire locker room again, which I do, you know, monthly, every couple months. I just go in there, and we just play straight up. Winter stays on, and, you know, I never get off. I kind of start sweating stuff, and then got to get off eventually, you know, let the other kids play each other. I'll defend that all down that hill. That is a fact. Me and Ethan Erickson are up there among the top. Whenever we play, it's entertaining. It's fun.
You're saying we should maybe bring, like, maybe the BYU TV cameras and – maybe film a segment of this?
Oh, it'd be incredible. I'm telling you right now, you would not be disappointed. Like, earlier today, I was playing Parker Kingston, who can hold his own, but we had a crazy game where he was on fire early on, and then I ended up coming back and winning it. We went to Deuce back and forth, and we had, like, 12 guys around us in the locker room.
Really?
Oh, we had a team meeting in, like, 20 minutes, and so all the guys start gathering in the locker room because they're getting ready to go up, and we were just going at it. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty exciting, too. You get the oohs, the ahs, and it's awesome.
Wow. Have you ever thought about, you know, maybe, you know, this – you decided to go with football, but do you ever think what might have happened if you had chosen the ping pong route instead?
What could have been? I'm not sure if they got scholarships for ping pong here at BYU, but maybe I'll look into that.
Yeah, we're gonna have to look into that as well. All right, speaking of the team, let's talk about the 2023 season. You ended up playing at the end of the year, and it's kind of your offense the last part of the season, and you guys faced probably the toughest stretch of games the last part of the year. How much was that always the plan, that you were going to play in those games? Or with Keaton's injury, is that kind of the way it played out? What was your playing time? How did that come about?
I think A-Rod always had an intention to get me in games here and there. You know, the plan was to redshirt from the beginning of the season so I could be able to play two more years. Now, unfortunately, Keaton did have that little injury to his arm against Texas. Mm-hmm. And he got through the rest of that Texas game. You could tell it was bothering him on the sidelines, but, you know, that next week when he called my number, you know, I was ready to go. It's kind of, you got to approach every week as the backup, especially you're one play away all the time. So kind of when that came to me, I was like, all right, now it's time to let that you know, that time spent off the field, you know, translate to time on the field and plays on the field. And so, you know, when you talk about the offense and that tough stretch, it was an extremely tough stretch. There's no doubt about that. But it was interesting at the end of that year, man. We started growing in confidence on the offense, and we just started feeling like more rhythmic team, you know, plenty of first downs every drive. And it kind of stinks, like, for me, because I was only four games in the season. I felt like we were just getting started, and it happened to end the season so abruptly on me. But yeah, that's kind of how that came to be.
We spent so much time talking about going to the Big 12, and it's going to be – A significantly different type of situation week in and week out than what the Cougars had faced previously. How accurate was that when you actually got out there to play?
An understatement, to be honest with you. There's no week where you get to go play some Group of Five team in the middle of the season where you just kind of, like, you come off the bye week all confident and you know you're better than that other team. It's every week you got to show up with your A game or else. It really is that big of a difference. And what's tough about it is you face these tough physical teams week after week. And so, you know, you're going in there, like, kind of, you come back on Monday, you know, feeling like you took a couple shots, and you're like, all right, I got, you know, 5-6 days to get back on track, and then I got to go put my best on the field the next week. And so that gauntlet, it is a gauntlet. There's no doubt about that. We got through that last season, and so now I like to say we've been baptized in the Big 12 this last season, because it's no joke. And yeah. So now, coming forward, we know what to expect, which is going to help us a lot.
How much did the losses affect you guys? Because you mentioned a second ago, you felt from an offensive standpoint that things were starting to click and you guys were starting to get into that rhythm and know each other a little bit better, and you're starting to find, you know, where you can, you know, make the biggest progress. How did you keep from letting the losses affect you from being able to make the progress that you want?
It was just knowing you got to go in there and work every week and work for the guy next to you and just continue that grind week by week. It turns out no matter what happens last Saturday, it doesn't affect this Saturday unless you let it. And so we just did our best to not let it affect us. And, you know, that helped us out week by week. And, you know, going into those tough games versus teams that are going to the Big 12 championship and putting a fight out there on the field. And so, you know, we just had to put it behind us. Yeah. Now let's move on. You know what I mean? It's watch the tape Sunday by yourself, watch the tape Monday with the team. And then by Monday afternoon, that thing is flushed. You've already gone through a little bit of game plan for the next week. You're already watching film on the next team. So it's just about having that. It's a brutal cycle of you're putting all your time and energy into one team for an entire week. And now forget it. You got one more team to do that against week after week after week. And so that's that grind of the season. And it takes a lot of mental fortitude and focus on, all right, that's over with. So what? Now what?
I know that the game didn't end the way that you wanted to, the team wanted to, fans wanted it to. But I go back to that Oklahoma game. I was so impressed with how that game was played from BYU's perspective. There was no question, and I don't need to be telling you, that was a game that BYU could have easily won. Take me back to that Oklahoma game and what that was like to be able to play a team like that and have the type of success you guys were having.
You know, that was definitely a huge point, especially coming off the week before where we played very poorly on every side of the ball. You know what I mean? We decided, you know, we're not going to do that. And, you know, one thing I like to carry with me is, like, it doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when, you know what I mean? We just got to show up and be our best. So I believe if there were 14 or 17 in the country when Oklahoma came into town, we were like, you know what, whatever. They're human. They got to put 11 on the field. We got 11 on the field. Let's just go see what we can do. You know what I mean? I feel like that was the mindset. Let's just go see what we can do now. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, that was my third game with the system. You know, we're starting to feel more comfortable. We're starting to get that chemistry right. Receivers know what to expect. O-line knows what to expect. Running back, you know what I mean? We all kind of got that chemistry back. And so just that game just proved a lot about our team, a lot about our resilience, the way we rallied. I'd never felt that kind of rally behind me, honestly, in my career. You know what I mean? Like, especially at this level. I mean, I had – you know, you make one bad play, and now you got to go out there and score a touchdown. And we did that, and we kept doing that, and it was a tough game to the very end. And, of course, it didn't end how we wanted to, but, you know, it proved a lot.
Yeah.
You know, whoever you are, you know that, all right, those BYU guys, they got something to them. You know what I mean? And I don't think the record showed that this year, and I know a lot of BYU Cougar Nation would agree with me on that one. But that game was huge for us and gave us that, like, it's a little bit, you know, disappointing to lose that, and it kind of like ruins that flow, but at the same time you're like looking back at that scoreboard, you're like, we had those guys.
Yeah, it fuels you, doesn't it?
100%. It's like, we had those guys. You know what, let's just go beat the next team. You know, let's just go beat the guys. You know, I think Oklahoma State beat them at that point, so we were like, yeah, we should have beat them. Now let's go beat the guys who beat them to prove that. And so I think everybody kind of saw that BYU, oh, they got something to them. Yeah. They're not just going to lay down to these big-time teams.
Do you have any pregame things that you do consistently? I don't want to call them rituals or anything like that, but, I mean, anything that you try and do just to kind of keep the same rhythm?
I wouldn't say there's any specific weird same socks in the morning, same underwear every day type of thing that I do, and, you know, maybe I should. But, for me, it's just like, make this another game, make this another day, feel relaxed. To me, the ritual is not what I do, it's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes the biggest difference. I learned this in junior college, actually, where before a game, I went down and I was used to like playing in high school and stuff, playing hype-up music and feeling like, whoa, I got to get going, I got to get going, got to get the blood flowing, the adrenaline going, just get rah, rah, rah. And of course, that's not what a quarterback should do, but I didn't know that. And so in junior college, one game, I just threw on my reggae playlist right before the game. It was like a two-hour bus drive. You know, I napped half of it. But once I got on the field, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just stick with this playlist. Like, I like it. I'm feeling it. I'm vibing it. And I went out and had the best game of the year. And so I was like, you know what? It's not about, you know, the music. It's about how I feel. And so, you know, some games, you know, it'll be country. Some games would be, you know, the rap, hip-hop stuff. Some games it'll be reggae. Some games it'll be some chill, whatever. And so I think it's just trying to find that synergy within myself, is that it's that feeling for me. It's not a certain act. It's finding that feeling for myself.
Well, staying with the theme of how you feel, based off of year one and the growth that you made in your first year here, how much confidence do you have heading into year two?
A ton, man. I mean, for those who know, early – this time last year in spring ball, I got sick. I missed a bunch of spring ball and stuff like that. And I just missed things that would have been way easier if I didn't miss. And the reps that I'm going to get with these guys coming back, these guys have seen me on the field before, and so they know how it's going to come. And I just think that I'm just super excited for spring ball to come and start. And it's like I'm ready for these things, the ball to get rolling.
Yeah.
Like, school started a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, this is just like the between time. And I'm just like, we're still doing tough workouts every day and still team stuff. But I'm just waiting for the ball to start flying and the bullets start flying again and get back on the field. I'm itching for it because of, especially the way last year ended.
Well, the quarterback room looks a little bit different. Gary Bohannon is now in the room. Trayson Borgay has also joined the team. And I know that that A-Rod has talked about this being a quarterback competition. How are you approaching, wanting to be the starter and kind of going through that process this year?
Yeah, the way I see it, I didn't default into being on the field last year. And, I have my abilities and I deserved it when I did, you know what I'm saying? And so the reason of that is just my abilities. And so my belief in myself is not lost. And so I'm just so excited to go out there and compete. That's all I've ever asked for is an opportunity. And I know I'm going to get one this spring. So, just competition, iron sharpens iron. It's going to make all of us better. And I can't wait.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about you and where you come from and growing up. Let's get into the life of Jake Retzlaff, all right? So tell everybody where you grew up and what your family dynamic was.
Yeah, so I grew up in sunny Southern California, so the snow has not been kind to me. There's a reason everybody vacations to Southern California.
There's no question about that. So yeah. So how many brothers, sisters, the whole thing?
Yeah, so I got two brothers. I'm the middle child, one older. He's 2 years older than me. My other's 2 years younger than me. My older brother's a receiver over at Colorado State Pueblo, where he just tied the receiver touchdown record this past season. He's going to go break it next year. My little brother right now is a senior in high school. He's a lefty pitcher for the baseball team over there. And, I want to get him to Brigham Young, if I could, to play baseball every year.
But let's go.
That'd be sweet. And so we just grew up the Three Stooges down in California. I lived in Claremont, California, which is a tiny little city in LA County, where I went to up till freshman year of high school. Then I moved to Corona, California, where I went to Corona Centennial, played for legendary coach Matt Logan, if anyone knows the high school ranks. So after that, it was recruitment was kind of rough because COVID hit for me.
Right.
There's a whole ordeal and stuff like that. And so it was like no season in the fall. California's a lockdown state. We got 5 games in the spring. In those 5 games, two months before, I broke and dislocated my elbow, and it was a mess. I had my coach trying to pull favors for me to get a walk on somewhere, and it just nothing was hitting. It was COVID, everything shut down. Everybody got their year back, so essentially the 2020 and 2021 class merged as one.
Yeah.
So it's twice the competition and the same amount of spots. So after that, I was all right, junior college, here we go. My brother had already been in junior college, and so that made it an easier transition for me to understand what it's about. You go there and you prove it at that level, and that's a higher level than high school. So coaches, they take that with a little more impression. And so first year was at Golden West College, where I played for Coach Mitchell, and John Shipp was my offensive coordinator, a guy who my dad coached in college and coached with later on. And so it was a lot of trust there. That made it a pretty simple decision, which is interesting because my brother was at Riverside City College in that time. He ended up hurting his shoulder that year, so he medically redshirted that season. But that season, we took it. We had a solid year. We went 11-1. We ended up beating Riverside the first time around at their home stadium, where they hadn't been beat in 10 years in the regular season, as long as that coach had been there. And went in there and beat them. Kind of funny because I would have gone to Riverside if that coach didn't say, "Oh, we don't need him." So that was enough fuel for me to go do that to them, and that was a very satisfying feeling when you go in there and tell the naysayers what's up.
That's right.
and take them down. That was the game where it was like, "All right, maybe I don't have to hype myself up. I just be calm for every game." And that was the game. After that season, I was SoCal Player of the Year. Had a couple scholarship opportunities to New Mexico State, University of Texas, El Paso, and Hawaii University. It was an interesting time because now that New Mexico State is really good all of a sudden, a couple years ago they were 1-11 with a brand new – now they had a brand new coaching staff and a lot of moving parts. So that wasn't appealing to me. Hawaii's head coach got fired while I was on my visit to UTEP. And so I decided on UTEP. And this is like the turning point for me is I went on my visit there. I drove out there. It's a 12-hour drive from my house in California. And get there. It was like my official visit. And then I was going to fly back and then fly back right away and get into school. It was going to be just like that. It was already a done deal. So it's just cool to see the campus and see all this stuff and see Mexico from the stadium, which is interesting.
Yeah.
but yeah, and so I'm there. I moved into my little apartment with one of the guys on the team. And I wake up one morning and a call from my offensive coordinator. He says, hey, man, well, your transfers just got in and you didn't get a high enough grade in calculus. So you got to go back and fix that. We can't give you a scholarship. That was crazy. That was like.
Is that like a punch in the stomach?
You wouldn't believe. It's like everything I'd worked for, all the COVID, all the extra workouts, all the like, what do I do now? It was just like, is the work that first thing, like the first thing I thought I was like, dude, how would I tell my mom this? There's no way I could tell my mom this. And it was like all that work I'd put in, it was just like not enough. So it was like everything that I just packed up in my room, I had to pack or just unpacked. I just had to pack up and throw back in my car. And just the only thing I do is get in my car and drive back 12 hours. And so I called my dad right as I'm leaving. And I'm like, hey, this is what happened. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, dad, can you tell mom? Because I can't. And it just kind of drove back. It was one of the most wild drives of my life, I would say. It was probably the lowest point in my life because that drive was like, wow, you thought you did everything right and you didn't. And now you're feels like you're back to square one and you feel even lower
than
you are in that moment. And so that was a 12-hour, that was a tough 12 hours driving back, get back. And it's like, well, what now? Okay, let me. And then I enrolled in Riverside, which was just closer to the house, Riverside City College, where my brother was. And so we just drive to school every day together. And it was like, all right, here we go again. Recruiting always sucked for me. It was always the worst because I never got the attention from the lowest level coaches for no good reason. I couldn't tell you why. Maybe it was because I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. I wasn't somebody's uncle or nephew or something like that, you know. And so I never had that like, oh, this big school wants you. And so spring comes around, and I'm just doing spring semester, just get going along and doing spring football with the Riverside City College team there, thinking I probably have to play another year. Sure enough, next thing I know, I'm in contact with A-Rod and Coach Mitchell, who obviously coaches quarterbacks. And so it was like, all right. They're like, hey, we want to come see you throw. And so we're going to be down there on Wednesday. We're just going to come by your throwing session and watch the throw. And so, sure enough, that's what happened. And it's funny about junior colleges. You tell two receivers that you're throwing for BYU, and all 30 of them show up.
So funny how that happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah. Probably threw the ball about 200 times. Did not throw well, if I'm be honest with you.
Really?
Did not throw well. I think I was just overthinking it. I was trying to throw the ball too hard. My center, who's one of my best friends to this day, who plays down in Southern Utah right now, he was like, dude, get out of your head, bro. You're in your head. Get out of your head. And I just didn't. But I threw well enough that they liked it. And the head coach of Riverside there, who I'd grown a relationship with and started to like me a lot, he told the guys, like, guys, he's throwing horrible right now. And they're like, we still like what we see. And so sure enough, they invited me up on an unofficial that summer. And so that's when I kind of drove up here with my brother and my mom, and we kind of toured everything. And there was camps going on, so we took part in that. And they watched me throw, and That's when I threw the best I've thrown in my life. So,
well, let's pause it right there. We're going to come back. We're going to get the rest of that story and how BYU came to be the place for you. We will take a quick break. We're talking with Jake Retzlaff here on the Deep Blue Podcast on BYU Radio. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. My name is Jason Shepherd. Happy to be joined by BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. And before the break, Jake, you were talking about how you had come up to Provo on an unofficial visit with your mom, correct?
My mom and my brother, yeah.
Your mom and your brother, you drive up to Provo, and unlike the last time BYU saw you throw, you thought you threw the best you had thrown. So finish that story on how BYU ultimately became the place for you.
Yeah, so it was, you know, here in Provo, that throwing session was like I said, one of the best I've ever had. It felt good. I felt right. And maybe it was the altitude, but the ball seemed to fly a little differently that day. And so, yeah, it just it felt really good. And, you know, after going through that whole thing, talking with Coach A-Rod and Mitchell, and just got to, like, you know, get a feel for these guys, get a feel for this culture at BYU, because it's different when a coach is coming to see you versus when you go see them in their place. And it was just a cool little place. And, you know, all the things that people talk about with BYU, especially being faith-centered and things of that nature, it was like, well, you know, that's kind of also been part of my life. And even though I'm not a member that of this church, I am a member somewhere. And so that made it easy to be like, okay, well, they align a lot with who I am and what I do.
That's something that I really wanted to touch on. You have obviously talked a lot about your Jewish faith, and that's something that you proudly discuss. Right now, I mean, I'm looking at you right now, and you've got your BYU shirt on, so you've got the oval Y on your chest, and then you're wearing a Star of David necklace. And so you've got the Star of David sitting on top of the Y logo, and I think that perfectly encapsulates you. But I think it also perfectly encapsulates what BYU wants everybody else to know, that you don't have to be a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to come to school here and thrive. Just looking at the basketball team, you have several players who are of the Muslim faith, who love it here and thrive here. You have been one that thrives here at BYU, and I've talked to you a couple of times. You really love being at BYU. Can you talk a little bit about that more, on what you said, that even though you're not a member of the church that owns this school, you are a member of a church, and so the fact that it is faith-based, that's really where you find what is common and not what's different.
Well, you know, yeah, you just kind of hit it on the head. It's a lot of the common themes that go around. And one thing that's been, you know, incredible for me being here, especially and having a faith that leads me in my life, is that when I came here and all of a sudden, you know, classes led by prayer and thought and discussions, even in the classroom, kind of came back to stories in, you know, the Bible or the Book of Mormon or the Old Testament, whatever it is like it made it easier for me to touch deeper into my faith. And it and the time that is, you know, involved with faith here, that is dedicated to faith, the amount of time that's dedicated to faith here just allows me to build my faith even more. And it's something I've been super grateful for and super unexpected. And looking back on it, it's like maybe I should have expected that a place that is based so much on faith and so much on doing the right thing, which I think is, you know, overlooked a lot of times. It just would be so beneficial for anybody and everybody. And one of the main reasons that it was like, all right, BYU's the spot. It was like, well, we're focused on the right things. There's nothing against Greek Row or fraternity sororities and partying all weekend, but is that the right thing?
Right.
Is that why you're here? Is that why you're a football player at a university like this? You know what I mean? And there's plenty of stories about guys who got too distracted with the outside distractions. And, you know, me and my parents had a good discussion about it when it came to decision time. It was like, you know what? The reason I'm going to BYU is to go play football. And that's the best school for me to be focused on playing football. I'm not going to be focused on these other things that don't help me. In fact, probably hurt me outside of football. And so that just made it super easy for that commitment. And little did I know that I'd be able to expand my faith while being here at BYU, which is just the cherry on top.
I want to go back to something that you said a few minutes ago, and you were talking about how when you were getting ready to go to UTEP, and then you found out that, you know, your calculus grade was not where it needed to be, and the scholarship wasn't going to be offered to you. And you said that's probably the lowest moment of your life. Now, looking back on that moment, can you see the blessing that that moment was to you now?
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's one thing that's for certain, is that God works in mysterious ways, and not even that mysterious, but in ways you wouldn't expect. One thing that, you know, Tyler Batty actually said to the team the other day is work, doing the work brings blessings that otherwise couldn't come to be. And sometimes these blessings don't look like what you would think they're going to look like. And so that going back, that drive back, little did I know that one door closing opened up so many behind me, and especially this one that I've taken advantage of, and just the gratefulness I have for that and the lesson I learned from that made it easy to kind of go throughout my journey here. And in the future, it's, you know, taking everything with a grain of salt, don't get too high on the highs, low on the lows, is definitely the biggest thing. getting too low on the low was obviously the issue there, and why it was so hard for me. I still haven't found a reason to not get too high on the highs, to be honest with you. But yeah, and so that's kind of like that taught me that lesson. And, you know, there's definitely plenty of lessons in any faith and anywhere where you can read that in a book, but there's nothing like experiencing it. And so experiencing it is just – it just changes your views on a lot of things, and it makes you more grateful for every opportunity. When you find yourself complaining about, oh, I didn't get this today and somebody didn't do this for me today, it's nice to be able to be like, all right, let's take a step back. I'm here right now doing what I'm doing. No, but, you know, this is an opportunity not presented to everybody, and it just allows me to be grateful for where I'm at and keep my, you know, feet in my shoes.
One of the really cool experiences that people got to talk about, there, I think at least locally, I think a lot of people got to see this story and hear about this, but back in October, the football team brought in some kosher food trucks to help celebrate one of the Jewish holidays for you. First of all, did you know that was going to happen? Second of all, what did that mean to you that they did that for you?
It meant everything in the world. I mean, it was incredible, and just the energy around it that, you know, that day and that afternoon, and the amount of excitement for it was just – I couldn't have expected it, and it was just unbelievable. Our nutritionist, Dan the Man, we call him, he knew the Jewish holidays were coming up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's one of those things. It's like, well, I know the Jewish holidays are coming up, but I'm stuck here in Utah where there's not much of a Jewish congregation at all, where I just got to be like, okay, this is all going on, and I'm kind of not part of it. I try to be, but you're just not, you know? And so he's like, hey, man, I want to do something. What do I got to do? And it went from like, dude, can I go buy some pastries for the holidays that you guys always eat? What do you eat? What do you do? And we're like, we spent 20 minutes looking online, looking, how can we get any of these? And of course, you can't get them because they're just not in Utah because there's no demand. Now, they're in LA, but that's going to take 2 weeks to ship. It's right. All over with by then. And eventually, I got to thinking, and there's a couple rabbis locally that I've gotten to meet. And there's, you know, one, the brother, who's also a rabbi, owns this Yalla kosher food truck. And I was like, Dan, this might be a stretch. But if we really wanted some food, we could do this. I mean, I don't want to have you go buy a food truck for everybody. That's kind of – it seems excessive. He's like, nope, we're doing it. I'm like, what? He's like, yep, give me the phone number right now. I'm going to call him right now. So in that office, I found all the details, gave him that number, and he made the scheduling as soon as he possibly could. And next thing you know, it was happening. It was actually kind of surreal. It was really awesome. And, of course, the food was amazing. The guys loved it. And it honestly brought our team together a little more. I mean, closer to me for certain, but definitely closer to each other and understanding and learning. And that's something that goes on within the building. It's like, especially when you got guys of different cultures and stuff. And I bet you it happened on the basketball team with guys who just like are a little bit curious. Like,
sure.
Hey, so we kind of do this. What do you guys do? And it's that simple. It's conversations like that, you know, that happen, you know, weekly, monthly, however long they take. To come about, they do come about. And so it was cool to kind of have those conversations with the guys. They learned about me. I learned about them. And it was just an incredible experience.
What message would you give to other athletes who may be considering BYU but maybe are hesitant because of religious differences?
Man, religion here, it's not the school. It's what drives the people of the school is how I'd put it. It's kind of like a filter that – you know that you're coming to a place where these people, they look at themselves in the mirror. They live with themselves, and they know they do things for another purpose. They don't just do things for themselves. And so they look out for each other because community is a huge thing here. There's no doubt about that. And they'll look out for you, honestly, more so than they look out for their own, because they want to make sure that they're not doing anything intrusive or, you know, insulting of you. And not that they would ever do that, because they don't. No, because this school, it's just underrated in that aspect of, you'd think the culture is super weird and oddball-y, but it's really cool, full of love, and that's Kalani's thing is love and learn. And I know for a football perspective, for sure, it's definitely a lot of that, a lot of love for each other. The guys really are there for each other, and and so is every member of the sports staff in the school.
What is your relationship with Kalani like? Because this is a guy, the guy loves everybody. I mean, he is somebody that everybody immediately feels comfortable being around because he's just that genuine of a guy.
No, the genuine is the name for it. I mean, that is who he is, and he's just such a great perspective on things and such a great, like, just embody of genuine nature. And that, I mean, he's an incredible leader. And what you don't understand about him from the outside looking in is the way he finds ways to mentor all 123 of us sitting in front of him at one time. I mean, he teaches us lessons throughout the season that I would have never thought coming from a head coach of a football team. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, he's more than a head coach. He mentors us and guides us through what we're doing. If anybody has any hard decision on this team and they wouldn't go to ask him or anybody else around this building, they'd be a fool to do so, because the guy, just his perspective on things is just unbelievable. And the way he can take a step back from any situation and just kind of take it for what it is, and at the same time be in the moment in so many situations when you see him running up and down the sidelines, screaming his head off and jumping around when we make a crazy play. It's just unbelievable the way he – you know, conducts himself and around the guys, around the team, and how he just is, you know, he's a light for us and he helps us get through so much, and he just shows us the ropes like nobody else I've ever met.
All right, Jake, let's bring it back around to some on the field stuff before we wrap things up. What gets you the most excited about this upcoming season? What, when you look ahead to the opportunities for you, for this team, for this program heading into year two in the Big 12, what gets you excited?
The fact that it's year two in the Big 12, the fact that we know what we're going to go through now, and honestly, the fact offensively, we're bringing back a lot of guys. There's a lot of dudes returning this past season, you know, from the receiver room especially. O-line, we had a lot of guys come back who could have easily moved on and done other things. And then in the running back room, you know, we got just LJ as a true freshman last year, got a ton of experience that he gets to carry over this year. Hinkley Ropati's coming off injury from last year. He's going to just be unbelievable this year. You guys have no idea what that animal is going to be. Miles Davis is going to step into a bigger role this year that he's more than ready for. And I could name off every receiver that got a bunch of catches last year that's going to be incredible for us. So I just love, and you know, even the tight end room, you know, just these are guys who played in a lot of meaningful snaps this year and in Big 12 snaps, you know what I mean? And so they're ready for what's to come. And that's what's got me most excited, is the experience that these guys have and the readiness that we're going to have and the understanding of what it's going to take for this season. We got it, and our commitment's going to be up there, and we're going to be ready for what's going to come.
One of the things that I always enjoy talking to BYU quarterbacks about is BYU quarterbacks. Obviously, there is a long line of unbelievable quarterbacks. I mean, there's a reason why for years and years and years it was called QBU.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about guys going to the NFL, you know, college Hall of Famers, setting NCAA records. What does it mean to you to be a part of that quarterback fraternity at BYU?
I mean, it's incredible. It's, when you mention quarterback in the NFL or in the history of football, there's a quarterback from BYU mentioned at least once, if not twice or three times. And so just to be part of that legacy, to build it up, for especially in the recency of you know, Zach Wilson and our guy Jaron, it's like it's now and it was. You know, it was and it is now. And that's what I love about it so much. It's like, you know, there's plenty of schools out there who have – you know, a Steve Young in the past that they can keep saying his name and like they just hold on to that one forever. But we got guys who second overall pick Zach, and then Jaron just drafted last year to the Vikings. And it's just unbelievable what A-Rod does with this program and how BYU has just been able to, you know, find guys, you know, possibly from nowhere. You know, I was in junior college. Nobody else really found me, but A-Rod did. And so and build them up to be great quarterbacks, which is what I hope to be. And I hope to represent this school at, you know, as QBU.
Well, Jake, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I hope you know how serious I am when I say that in terms of being a representative of BYU, I can't think of anybody better. You're fantastic, and I really enjoyed the conversation today. I hope you did, too. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks.
Thanks once again to my guest, Jake Retzlaff. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.